Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. Is about to commence.
Hey, good morning, Reading, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Tuesday.
The 22nd of December.
3 days before Christmas.
In case you're waking up and saying, "What? Where am I?"
Yeah, hey, I'm joined today by, of course, our producer, Bob Belongi. And Bob's over there pushing buttons and waving and smiling. And, of course, by my soulmate, Linda.
Good morning. Good morning. 7:06 in the morning.
And
oh, can you believe that it at Thursday evening, Christmas Eve, Santa's already packing a sleigh, I can tell you right now.
Yeah.
He might be a little lighter on the toys this year because I hear throughout the world people are just, and including Santa, just maybe tightening their belt just a bit.
Well, no, that's not exactly true, though, love, because our United States Senate is voting to spend more money than we've ever spent before. You know, I mean, we're at $1.4 trillion in our deficit, and then they just voted the second vote to push health care out there. And we're going to talk about that later on. But, you know, things are tight here.
Well, and not for a guy who went to in Ohio that paid $72 for one taco.
I didn't hear about that.
Oh, yeah. He went in. He was a little inebriated, probably partied, you know, did a nice Christmas party. And went in and bought a taco and gave him $72. They said, "Excuse me, sir, you've overpaid." He said, "Keep the money and Merry Christmas." So somebody got a,
somebody got a $70 tip, huh?
That's right.
Well,
I don't think they're $2 tacos, but.
Yeah. Well, you know, this week, obviously, today we're going to have our guest today be Sheriff Tom Pasinko. We're going to be talking about, you know, what's going on with the, funding, what's going on with tax revenues, what the big impact this is going to have on the sheriff and his people. Some of the ads we've heard on the radio and TV about coverage. Kind of, they kind of reminded me of what was going on when Reading was discussing the salaries and the benefits of the police. And we got that, you had that phone call to 9/11 that said, "There's somebody breaking into my house. There's somebody breaking into my house." And the answer was, "Well, we'll get there as soon as we clear the next one." You know, that was, talk about fear tactics. And we just happened to have the representative of the police in that day when that was being played. I remember his answer. It says, "Well, you know, a lot of times when you just put out statistics, people don't really remember those commercials, but they sure remember the 9/11 commercial."
Well, Sheriff Pasinko will be here at 8 o'clock. So, like we said, please email us or give us a call here at 605-4567. Also, want to remind you, we did give the Sarah Palin tickets away yesterday.
To Dave of Best Way Upholstery.
That's cool. So, Dave, you get to sit with us.
Yeah, you have to sit with us because that's where the tickets are at.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, today, the weather right now, it's like 38 degrees.
Ooh.
But it's supposed to clear up. It's supposed to be sunny and like 50 later on this afternoon. That's good.
Doggy park time, maybe.
Yeah, and also there's a lot of shopping left to do because probably unlike any other man here in the North State, I haven't even begun Christmas shopping. But we got to take a break here. This is Carl and the Bot on Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM.
Good morning. It's Carl and Linda Bot here on Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio.
I like that song.
I do, too. Do you know, Christmas is Thursday evening. Of course, Christmas Eve is Thursday evening. And we're looking at each other and thinking, okay, you know, what are we going to wrap for each other? What do you want for Christmas?
It's difficult to wrap that tower.
We said,
"I'm out
this
there.
This year, it's a radio station, darling."
You know, honey, you got a transmitter. You know, that's, you know, I know you can't wear it around your neck, but hey.
Do you realize today is the anniversary of his birth? Russian communists hold red flags as they line up to lay flowers at the grave of Soviet director Joseph Stalin. 130th. Anniversary. Now that's a place
He made Hitler look like a piker when it came to killing people.
This is what they say, but and I don't mean to laugh when I say that, but I mean talking Russia. We've both have traveled a great deal, and one place that I've never been to is Russia, And I, in my lifetime, I think I would really like to do Russia. So, I mean, I think that I've just basically done just about every police house, except for maybe the Greek Isles. But Russia would be a place to go and really study, observe, and just, you know, see the Kremlin, see, you know.
I hope you have a great time, because there is no way that I would ever go to Russia.
Are you kidding?
No. No. Why would I want to go to Russia?
Give us a call.
I haven't been to Maine yet. I'd really go to Maine.
Oh, Maine would be beautiful. Well, let's see. I've been close to Maine. 605-4567. Is there some place that you want to go that perhaps it's not politically correct in your heart, where you hold it at bay because of things that have happened, but it's still a country's history? It's part of our world. Is there some place that you would like to go but haven't? Or share with us your great experiences? You know, speaking of traveling in places, do you realize that they have legalized same-sex marriages in Mexico City? Mexico City!
Yeah.
I'm just kind of surprised. Well,
there's only 12 people still in Mexico City. Most of them have come across the border, and they live in L.A. So, you know, I think probably is what's happening is they're just kind of sending their money back down there. And hey, this is the way we're going in the United States. You want to be like Americans here, vote in same-sex marriages.
Now, I performed in Mexico City, and Mexico City truly is one of the most polluted cities in the world. Well, it's just brown air.
I think that nothing's changed in the last 5 or 6 years.
I mean, there's some beautiful history on the outskirts of Mexico City and Mexico City itself, and it's rich in culture. You know, I would never want to bash it, but it's not a place that I go, ooh, I'm going to Mexico City.
Well, the pollution is bad. Hey, I understand that there may be something in your house that pollutes more than the average SUV. And that people, they've done studies about it, and that if people knew this, what kind of impact could it have? I mean, we're talking about green here. We're talking about cleaning up the environment. It was a perfect segue. But did you know that many of us have something in our house that pollutes more than an SUV? Well, what do you think that is? Linda knows. Bob is at a total loss.
I don't think Bob and Brenda have one.
That's right.
What's that?
Let me put it this way. I bet that many of the people that are listening to us right now have that object in their house that pollutes more than an SUV.
Okay, well, here's the headline.
And that you like it.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think that is? Maybe we just won't tell anybody right now. But you have many of the people in this country, and many people in Reading, have this object in their house, and it pollutes more than an SUV.
605-4562.
4567.
I locked it in just like I did all those lyrics many years ago I still sing incorrectly, but it's, you know.
605-4567. What do you think this might be? And we'll just take this for a couple minutes because we were just going to talk about it. But, you know, I read this and when you found it this morning we've got it. But I was astounded by it. Now, you know, the bottom line is it true? It's supposedly true. It's supposed to be been studies done on this, that this object, this thing, this, I'm not even going to say what it is because it gets too close to what it is.
605-4567.
What do you think that you have in your house that pollutes more than the average SUV? And I swear to you, you will not believe it. We're going to take a break here. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about it some more. 605-4567. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio here on KCNR, 1460 AM. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR, 1460 AM right here in Reading. Okay, we've asked the question, what do you have in your house?
And all the mini calls, nobody got it right.
Yeah, the mini calls. Those are MINI mini calls. What do you have in your house that has a bigger carbon footprint than an SUV? Linda, what is it?
Man's best friend.
That's right. Your dog has a bigger carbon footprint. A medium-sized dog has a bigger carbon footprint than a gas-guzzling SUV.
According to a new study. But the revelation in the book, Time to Eat the Dog, The Real Guide to Sustainable Living. by New Zealanders Robert and Brenda Vale as angered pet owners who feel they are being singled out as troublemakers.
Yeah, Bob's over there choking at that time to eat the dog.
The Vales, wait a minute, the Vale specialist in sustainable living at Victoria University in Wellington analyzed popular brands of pet food and calculated that a medium dog,
size dog
eats around 164 kilos, which is about 360 pounds of meat and about 95 kilos of cereal a year. Cats have no eco footprint. Have about, or they have an eco footprint. That's what I said. No.
Right.
Okay. Of about 0.15 hectares.
About a half acre, but it's equivalent of a Volkswagen Golf.
Yes.
Right. Now, so what kind of little animals do we have around the house that you can pet and love on? Okay. What about hamsters?
Wait a minute. Hamsters equate to a plasma television, and even the humble goldfish burns energy equivalent of two mobile telephones. Well, there you go.
So, you know, one of the ways, I guess, what they're saying is to help the environment.
Banish the pets, I guess.
Banish the pets. Now, how many people are willing to give up their dog before? I don't think so. I think what it is it's the cost. It's raising, you know, the beef and the different animals, chicken and all those other things they use for the food. But it shows you just, you know, a little bit is just how far we can take this.
Bob just wrote us a note. Did the taxpayers pay for the study?
Well, it was in Europe.
Well, it's in New Zealand. That's why I think they say kilos.
But to answer your question, yes, the taxpayers did pay for that study. And New Zealand has got one of the highest tax rates in the world, as we know. And also as Europe is, when we start talking about everything that's out there for the, you know, to take care of our citizens in Europe. And Croatia is an example, about 65% of their pay. Everything they make, 65% of everything they make goes to taxes in Croatia.
I just want to also remind you that recently we heard, you know, Tom Bosenko is going to be here, Sheriff Bosenko, at 8 o'clock. But tomorrow they will be doing a random DUI and driver's license checkpoints. I mean, when I say random, somewhere in the city. So you want to make sure that whatever you do, it doesn't even have to be because tomorrow they're checking you. Is I know it's a time to imbibe with your friends and enjoy a, you know, a glass of wine at lunch or a little champagne at the evening to cheer a holiday eggnog. You might not even know how much stuff is in the eggnog, rum or whatever you put in it. But just be careful. Just be on top of your drinking and driving. And also just make sure you have your driver's license up to date, duh, and your proof of insurance. You just don't want to get nabbed and have this big bill right
they
before
can
the
give
holidays.
You, yeah, and they can give you tickets that cost you a lot of money without that proof of insurance, without your registration, without your driver's license. So, you know, and the city's warning you that, hey, we're going to be out there.
Cell phones. They say that texting while you're driving is, I don't know how many times more deadly than cell phones, talking on your cell phone ever were.
I can't believe that people actually text while they're driving. I mean, when they made the law about not talking on the telephone while you're driving, they left out texting. And then they found out that people text while they drive. I mean, why don't they, I've seen people reading newspapers. I've seen women putting on all different types of makeup going down the road. I actually saw a guy reading a book as he was in traffic. And I'm sitting there thinking, I was going by. When you're on a motorcycle, you get to see a lot of these things because you're kind of looking to see who the next guy is going to be out there to try to kill you. But you see them doing these things, you know, as you go by, how can you read a newspaper while you're driving down the freeway at 60 miles an hour or faster?
I don't know, but I'm looking across the room there and I'm seeing that it's 31 degrees. 31! So when you go out this morning, make sure you button up your overcoat.
31 degrees at 7:28. We're going to be taking a break here in a couple minutes. We come back, we're going to talk about poverty levels here. You know, this is not really, the happy
depressing
thing to being. Well, maybe it is, but it's true. You know, we're suffering some of the highest poverty levels for our children. You know, in the state is right here in Shasta County, and our unemployment rates are up. But there's a silver line into this horrible cloud when it take, you know, about us taking care of these kids when they get to school too. But we're going to talk about that.
And maybe what constitutes poverty level? What does that mean that they're only eating 1 meal a day? Does that, what does that mean?
Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the amount of money and how people will, you know, that if you're hitting that poverty level, how your kids can be taken care of while at school, which is important. We talk about government programs and government handouts and all that, but you know, there are some programs out there that we need to sustain. We need to sustain these programs to take care of these kids. You know, this country is too great a country to have our children suffer from a lack of food or medical attention. You know, it's not their choice.
605-4567 is our studio hotline. We are taking your calls. We have to take a break right now. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. This is KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. It's 31 degrees. It's 7:31.
Our producer's Bob Belongi, and you know what? You are picking out some great bumper music. Just some killer guitar lines. This is Carla Linda Bott. We are so happy to be here and serving Reading and the outlying areas. We're taking your call, 605-4567. Before the break, we were talking about poverty levels with our children today and how many teachers are acknowledging the fact that many of Shasta County students are in the poverty level. What does that mean?
Well, you know, Record Searchlight puts together some pretty good stories at times. But recently, data from the U.S. Census Bureau shows that a high rate of school-aged children are living in poverty in Shasta County. But it seems like the school officials seem to have recognized that and are not surprised. Of course, there's the obvious that there's not a lot of that we have a high level of unemployment. It says 15 point something, but the actual numbers have got to be over 20% because a lot of people have run out of their unemployment benefits. A lot of people are underemployed, which is even worse. They're underemployed. They're not making the money they used to. And some people have even just stopped looking because there's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can find, even though that and they're moving away from here or they're here and there's just nothing out. There's a lady, the superintendent of Indian Springs School District, estimates 31% of the children live in poverty. And the Big Bend school participation in the free and reduced price lunch program is near 100%. Of course, you know, we're only talking about 14 students in there. The highest estimated percentage of children living in poverty in Shasta County is in the Cascade Union Elementary School District in Anderson. This district has a child poverty rate of 34%, but close to 83% of the district's estimated 1,400 children receive discounted meals. And that's up from last year by 5%. It's that the food programs that we have at the school where they get discounted meals or they get free meals is in this area a must-have. They have to have a food stamp enrollment has increased 28% since 2007. A household that receives food stamps can get have a family household income of less than $40,000 are also eligible for reduced price meals. You know, there are places that this is probably abused. I've heard, you read these stories where people are getting the kids are with their little cell phones and they're driving they've got all the new clothes and all that, and somehow they're still getting free meals. I don't understand that part. But here in Shasta County, talk about government programs, and this government program is something that I think is needed.
Well, I do too. I agree with you, and I'm sure many of our listeners do as well. We've had this discussion many times in panels and on the street. We talk about certain issues, but when I grew up. I guess it would be my formative years, first through fifth grade, in a place called Pleasant Valley, which is about 12 miles north of Placerville. And we lived on a mini ranch. My best girlfriend, or one of the three of my best girlfriends, we were a little group, with the Mosbachers, Peggy Mosbacher.
Not Peggy Mosbacher.
Peggy Mosbacher, 14 kids in her family. Her father was a postmaster. And her mother was a stay-at-home. What are you laughing at? I'm just saying.
Mosbacher.
Mosbacher.
Bacher.
All of the kids graduated from college. They were they were a very strong Catholic family, 4 to 5 kids in a room. They all sat at the table and ate. Mother was a stay-at-home mother. They had a cow. It's the first time I milked a cow.
Well, she had to stay at home because she was pregnant all the time.
Well, what I'm saying is that they were not on welfare. I'm just saying that these were people who...
Well, they didn't have those programs back then, I don't think, did they?
Of course they did.
They had,
of course, and the reason I know that they did is because I remember my mother, who worked for the school district, would talk about there were people who were in that poverty level that had to have assistance. But I'm just saying that this was the American dream. At that point, he did have a job, but they made some of their own clothes. They made their own food. I mean, it had to feed 14 kids. The older set took care of the younger set, and they did not get government assistance. I think that is a great story. You're looking at me with a look on your face.
Well, I just go back to, you know, I'm just trying to imagine like 14 kids in a house. I mean, there are people like that.
It was lovely. They were such a tight family. And so many years later, she and I got together and had coffee. And she showed me their family reunions. Every year they get together.
I think that's great.
And I don't know, was there 400 of them?
Probably at this point, there's got to be at least there's a lot of them. Yeah, it's a wide angle lens there.
Yeah. But they're very, very close. And I just remember what a great feeling it was sitting at their table. When we used to do 4-H together, Peggy and I. So we were in, I think, brownies and 4-H together.
You know, when you see the Congress pass laws, they're voting like on the health care thing. But then they vote on other things that make sense to me. But let's talk about one that doesn't quite make sense. What I don't understand is, does the health care system in this country need to be revamped? Yes. Or parts of it need to be. You know, the parts where if you lose your job and you get another job, then you can't get insurance because you have an existing condition. That needs to be fixed right then. The fact that you can be denied care over things that are just insignificant, that's got to be changed. That's wrong. People that pay into their health insurance plans for years and then all of a sudden, because they've gone in to use them the first time, they get it canceled. Wrong. Health insurance companies, that's wrong. You know, you guys have been, you know, even though that, you know, people seem to think that the health insurance side of these insurance companies are raking in, you know, 80% profits, which isn't true. I think during the Senate here, it just came out, it's like 10%. But still, those things need to be changed. But what's going on in the Senate just offends me viscerally with the way they're doing things there. Ben Nelson of Nebraska, a, quote, moderate Democrat, who said, well, you know, there's some things wrong with this. His state now has their Medicare payments taken care of by the taxpayers of this country. And for that, Ben voted as one of the 60 to make sure that this thing keeps moving through the Congress. You know, I'm not sure how you feel about this, but why am I and these people that their children have to have, you know, reduced price meals at the schools, why are we paying for Medicare in Nebraska? I mean, I don't understand that concept. Have we gotten so sleazy at that level in the Senate, this august body? Have we gotten so sleazy that we're buying off votes like that? And it is so, I mean, it's just so transparent. I mean, maybe the people in Nebraska think that's a good deal, but how do you go back? How does Barbara Boxer come back here and Dianne Feinstein and say, well, you know, it's the principle of the thing. You know, this is so much more important if we have to give a few things up, like paying for Nebraska's Medicare or throwing, you know, putting millions and millions of dollars into their system. How can that be right? I mean, what's the difference between that and bribing, you know, these laws they passed about American companies giving money to do business in another country? What's wrong with our system that we're starting to do things like this? What's wrong with our system that we need to pay off our senators? And not only that, but where is the savings here? You know, I mean, I'm listening to independents from the Senate that are saying the insurance companies, the pharmaceutical companies, they're still going to be making, you know, they're still going to be making their profits, pharmaceuticals. What changes are in this? What are we doing? why do we have a 400-page amendment that comes in on Saturday to be voted in on Sunday? Why do we have to do that? What is so important? What is so important that we don't have a chance to look at it? Has anybody out there even seen this health care bill that's being voted on? Has anybody seen that? Has anybody seen it in their emails? Does anybody even know what's in it? We got to take a break here. Carl and the Bob, Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM. And we do care. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR, 1460. You know, okay, the Senate does do these things, but they also do some things that make sense, right?
What things?
Well, that thing about being held captive on airlines.
Oh, that thing. Oh, my. What is the longest period of time you've been held captive on a plane in the tarmac? Or how about in the airport waiting? I've been 2 days. Well, I remember Christmas years ago. It took me 2 days to get to Madison, Wisconsin from Los Angeles.
Well, yeah, but you know, the thing that we're going to be discussing though for the next couple of minutes is the fact is that do you realize that once you get on the plane and you leave the gate and you're okay, so you think, "Hey, okay, we're getting ready to go," and then they take you out there and for some reason, mechanical, I don't know, physical, whatever, you don't take off. So you just kind of sit there. So you sit there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. 10 hours. Some people have been stuck on the tarmac in August for 10 hours. So what happened? What did the Congress do?
You can imagine, as you're doing that, you know, you've been there before with the stinky toilets, the crying babies, the cabbage you can hardly breathe in. Well, the Obama administration has declared it's ordered airlines to let people get off planes delayed on the ground after 3 hours. Yeehaw.
3 hours is still a long time.
There's a three-hour limit, and there's other new regulations. They're meant to send an unequivocal message to airlines not to hold passengers hostage on stuck planes. I've been there. I know how that feels. It is such a lesson in, you really have to go into a meditative state or take a drug.
Yeah, the longest I've ever been out on a tarmac, it's been close to an hour.
Have your volume ready.
And everybody is starting to get nasty. You know, that first of all, they'll give you water, but they won't give you anything else. They won't feed anybody because they may have to launch right then. So they can't do anything.
But here's the catch. I mean, I know we're going into the Christmas season, but this does not go into effect for 120 days.
Well, that's okay.
But, of course, the predicted results will be more canceled flights and more inconvenience for passengers. I don't know about you. I would rather be inconvenienced in the airport knowing that my flight, when I'm going to get on, I am not going to have a 5 or 6 or 7 hour flight and be held captive on a plane. I would rather just
3 hours.
Well, 3 hour minimum. That's that you cannot be, or maximum. You cannot be, they're going to have to turn around if you're held inside the plane. On the tarmac, it can't be. The regulation won't hit for 120 days, but you can't be on that plane for more than 3 hours. And you know what? That's healthy.
Well, that's true. But, you know, then they can charge. If they do that, they can charge up to $27,000 per passenger. Explain me one other thing. Why don't we do this for illegals? That if you find them working for a company, why don't we charge them? Huh?
I know. Explain that, Lucy.
Explain that. Okay, they can't. All right. Before we go into break, our guest, by the way, today at 8 o'clock, as you all know, is Sheriff Tom Basinko. We're going to be getting to him right after the 8 o'clock break. But we're going to talk about, in fact, we may even ask him a couple questions before that. But we're going to take a quick break here. It's about 31 degrees. It's 7:48. This is Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460.
NR 14.
Yeah, we are so happy to be here. It's Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. The time is 8:48. Ooh, it's been like 31, 32 degrees out. What have you got there about this building?
Mark Beecham is a friend of ours and writes incredibly interesting blogs with, not business as usual. And we were talking about the other day about Patrick Jones's idea, our mayor, Mayor Jones, about he likes the Civic Plaza building across from City Hall. He wants to put RPD there, the police department, and not REU. He figures that by the time that the city could buy the building, bring it up to code, you know, do the refit, and do a build out for around $5 million. And we actually have money in a redevelopment fund for that. And it's going to be a quarter of what it's going to cost for that KMS building. Well, you know, the thing is that there are some questions about parking. So they're going to have to, I think they're still going to have to split up some of the police department. But you know, the thing I like about it, it's right here in town.
Yes.
That you don't have it so far out. And that, you know, can this thing really work for our police? You know, it's not the perfect solution. I mean, yeah, the perfect solution is to have a brand new building that's constructed from the ground up for the police. It's got everything in there. It's got the gym so they can, you know, work out there after they've been on that tough day. They can have an indoor shooting range, all those things. Yes, $40 million, that's a wonderful idea if two things. One, we had the money and, you know, and a way of raising money for this. So this is Jones's idea. It'll be interesting to see what happens when they bring this up in front of the city council. As you know, when they tried to bring up the last idea about having REU buy that, the city council voted it down because the people just went berserk about having REU buy a building just because they had the money, except they really didn't have the money. They're going to float a bond issue for like $5 million, which means we have to pay for it anyway. So we'll see what happens with this. But the police need a new building. There is no doubt about it. If anybody's been in the city police department, you cannot believe it. You go in there, and two of their interrogation rooms are extremely small. You could put both of them inside our studio here, and the studio is not that large. But they have to use the other one to keep the dog in, I think. So it's a good idea.
I never did when Sheriff Hanson, or excuse me, Chief Hanson,
By the way, he's going to be here Thursday.
Well, Sheriff is sitting right there. It's hard for me to say anything else because I've got the sheriff in his wonderful uniform, and, you know, he's such a presence. So, anyway, when Chief Hanson said, when he took his position, he said, we had him on our show, and I have never taken a tour of the facility that is currently housing the police department. I sure would like to do that, as well as ride along. And I'm wondering if we'll find that out when we come back with also our Sheriff Basenko. And by the way, 605-4567, if you want to ask some questions, this morning is the time because the man is here. We talk about, of course, we're going to ask him about what's happening in the new year, what's projected to happen in 2010.
Well, you know, one of the other things that, and before we go to our break, we get back to the sheriff that we just saw. And I don't believe it. You know, we had it, Jim Bremer had it on the news and all this. It's that there is a Catholic priest. It seems like they told his congregation it's okay to shoplift. That shoplifting is better than prostitution, and that if you do it, God will forgive you. No, I swear, I saw it locally. On the news today. No, no, it's not locally. It's someplace probably, who knows where this guy's from. But he said it's, you know, that the poor should be able to shoplift and, you know, and take it from the wealthy.
Robin Hood.
I mean, this, I swear, if you don't, I mean, this is in the news today, and how could, and when you start seeing things like this, that he would rather his congregation shoplift than, you know, than go to worse crimes.
Well, it's still stealing, and it's not, that's a commandment, isn't it?
No.
Thou shalt not steal?
Well, but not only if it's under $100. I think isn't there some kind of law about that? It's a felony or a misdemeanor. It's okay to be a misdemeanor sin as opposed to a venial. Is that a venial sin? I'm not sure because
I don't know. But I wish that they would steal a bunch of this old, some of this old gear hanging around here.
No, you don't, because then, you know, the board would then go away because it's older than you.
No. I'm talking about it. It's been so fun, and I got to share this really fast before we take a break. But this is kind of a little stretch from the shoplifting. But, you know, I love to call the Radio Geek Squad. They are amazing scientists at large with their vast knowledge of how these things work. Well, Mike Quinn has stuff in the back that is like from 1970s, 60s, 80s, 90s,
40s.
Wires that our Radio Geek Squad goes in and goes, oh my gosh, a wire from 1984 from the And they fix it, and they open it up, and the next thing you know, it's working.
It is, and they find these things, and you know, and they make it work. So, you know, you just haven't lived until you've seen our people in here.
And, telegraph.
Yeah, you know, one of them comes in. He says, you probably can't. We're having a little problem with the sound going out. And why? Because I just stepped on this wire, and so we got that fixed immediately. And then the two of them are in here saying, okay, we're going to switch over. It should take 5 seconds.
Don't sneeze.
And a minute later, they're still in there trying not to electrocute each other. We could not do this without Bob Belongi, Ron Smith, Jim Beamer,
Mike Quinn,
but Ron Smith, went down for 2 days straight with
abscess
tooth. He's in there last night, and the last note I got from him today was at midnight, so he was still working last night to make sure
our heroes.
Works. Yep. What can you say about it? They are our Christmas present, that's for sure.
And speaking of heroes, coming up after the break, we have our sheriff. This is the man. He's sitting here in uniform. We're going to take your call, 605-4567. It's Basenko with a capital B.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Join us after this break. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and the Bot. And it's 31 degrees out there, and it's 8:06. We've just had our last hour. We talked about everything ranging from being stuck on the tarmac for 3 hours to the Senate health care bill being voted on, about City Hall, the Civic Plaza across from City Hall being used for Reading Police Department. And that your carbon footprint of your dog may be more than your SUV.
And there will be a random DUI somewhere in town tomorrow.
That's right.
Checking your blood level, your alcohol level, as well as are you carrying a driver's license and proof of insurance. Beware.
And you know,
be ready.
You know, people that say, you guys go through a whole lot of subjects during an hour. You know, we call it attention deficit disorder of radio that we have. Okay, but in our second hour, as we do most of our times, is we have a guest, and our guest today is Sheriff Tom Basenko. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning, Carl and Linda.
Glad to have you in the studio, in our brand new studio for the first time.
This
Welcome.
This is the first time I've been here in your new studio.
That's right.
How's it feel?
Great. You're still getting settled in, just like moving into a new home or something. So it has its moving in pains.
Yes, it does.
We still have all these tools on the table next to us that we need to keep things going here. Sheriff, you ready for Christmas?
Absolutely. Except
for the shopping part. See, you're the typical man out there. Is that most of us usually wait until the last second to
shop?
I
was up till about 2 a.m. doing Christmas cards. So
good for you. I will say that I remember years ago, I knew somebody in the jewelry business who said that Christmas Eve was the big rush because guys waited till the last minute, and at that point, it didn't matter what it cost. They knew they were in trouble.
Well, you kind of go in, look for the item, hunt it down, buy it, and wrap it.
Hunt it down.
I like that. You know, men that are trained to sit for long periods of time without moving or talking. You know, women get upset if we don't talk to them. It's because we're sitting there contemplating what we're going to buy them for Christmas. And then we stealth into the store.
I did hear an excellent, excellent idea. I was at an event, and the announcer said, hey, all you guys, buy this piece of jewelry here. It was an auction, fundraiser auction for the NRA. And they said, buy this piece of jewelry and put it in your gun safe. And so then when you forget that birthday or anniversary, honey, I didn't forget. Open up the gun safe, and ta-da, there's your present.
Perfect.
I thought that was an excellent idea.
You should attend more auctions.
That was a good idea.
And just have one. Have you know, several pieces that are tucked in there for the
Of course, you know, absolutely. They think differently. Of course, you know, I knew I was falling in love when she said, you know, you can never have too many guns. And then, of course, in the next words were, or too many diamonds. So, okay.
That's true. Sheriff Tom Basenko, you go ahead. We both have so many questions.
We've got to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk about two things. Accomplishments this year and where we're going next year with the Sheriff's Department. And we're asking all of our elected officials, and we'll be asking Chief Hansen the same thing, is what have we done that's great? Where are we going next year? I want to talk about the and I want to talk about, of course, the what happened in Bernie and aftermath of that.
Sure.
So, Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. Our guest today is Sheriff Tom Pasinko.
Morning. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning. How are you?
605-4567. We're taking calls. Now is the time. If you've got questions for the sheriff, to be calling the station. All right. So what's in the pot? What's happening? What's hot right now?
Well, of course, we just concluded the Bernie bank robbery, and that investigation is continuing. Reading Police Department's doing that investigation. They'll submit it to the DA probably sometime after Christmas.
Are the what kind of aftermath are you having, it seems like, from the incident in Bernie? And then I know, you know, of course, there's also the incident that happened down here in town, too.
Sure. We conducted a critical incident stress debriefing for our staff that was involved and the dispatchers. And then we'll be doing, sometime after the first year, we'll be doing a tactical operational debrief. And then the officers are taking some time off for a little what I call decompression time. And then they'll be going back to work. It was the community yesterday had Take Back the Bank and just a huge outpouring, about 300 community members there by Pastor Frank Wilkins from Hat Creek. And it was excellent, very well received, some prayers, some cheers, some personal time with the bank employees, and it was just a great outpouring from the Bernie community.
Had the bank been closed down until then?
The bank has been closed for the last week since the incident, part for the investigation, and then the other part for putting it back together. And the bank had done an excellent job, just like a kind of a complete remodel inside. And so they're getting some new windows in there today, and that'll complete their remodel as far as I know.
Well, what people don't realize is that this was a a plant. You know, the man came up from Chico, spent the night in Redding. I don't know if many people know this. He had his weapons, and then he went to the bank, and literally when he walked in, stood behind the first customer, put the pistol up against the customer's head or close to it, and pulled the trigger.
That's correct.
Luckily, he didn't have a round in the chamber.
Correct. That was in our one of the RPD press releases.
I saw that. And then, so when he put a round into the chamber, the guy moved a little bit and then was, luckily was not killed when he shot.
Still very, very,
very lucky.
Right.
Wow. You know, it's a, and then he shot another person and then he said, call the police.
He robbed the bank and then said, have you pressed the button, being the alarm button yet? And then waited there for the arrival of the deputies. And then as soon as they arrived, they came under fire.
And do you see any link between this and what happened down in Redding?
Actually, two different incidences, not connected.
Yeah.
Different methods to a degree. I mean, it is an armed bank robbery, mm-hmm. but probably for different reasons by the individuals.
I couldn't see anything in there, but, you know, because of two different, even completely the way they did the whole thing.
Right.
So, you know, one went in there with a pellet gun. And this is the tragic thing about that people watch TV or these movies and they don't realize that a weapon is a weapon.
That item, that replica, I could probably set it in front of you here just a few feet away with a real one next to it, and you, even with your expertise, would be very hard-pressed to tell the difference between the two. And definitely, you could not tell the difference at 20, 30 yards away.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things we found in Baghdad when we were doing security work there was this little Iraqi kid came up to where we were at. And we knew the kids in that neighborhood. You know, we were we had seen the little boy before. But he walks up. He's got a 9mm Beretta. And, you know, somebody took it from him. And it was a toy, a complete toy that some men in the neighborhood had come in and were handing out to the children. They were handing the children these replica pistols. And we knew why they were doing it, so that, you know, the kid comes up, you know, and somebody may be a little bit jumpy, sees somebody with a pistol. But you can't tell the difference. And if somebody is pointing something that looks like a real pistol at you, you don't have the opportunity to go, gee, I wonder if that's real or not.
You know, that decision weighs very heavily on the officers. That's not a decision that's taken lightly for the use of lethal force. And that's why we have opportunities for counseling and some time off afterwards, because that really weighs on a person. It's not like you see on TV in Hollywood.
No, it never is. The officers that were involved with it, are they back on the street yet?
Do you mean the Reading incident or the Bernie incident?
The Bernie incident.
The majority of them are. A few of them are still have a little bit of time off, and then they'll be going through some further testing and then be back to work.
Okay. You know, we're going to take a break here, Sheriff. When we get back, we want to talk about, the accomplishments of this year of the Sheriff's Department, and then what we're to look forward to here this next year with the cut in tax revenues and where we're going to cut back at and still maintain, first responder abilities.
Sure. You bet.
It's Carl Lindebaugh here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. Okay, Sheriff. Big accomplishments for 2009, would you say?
I would say our efforts against illegal drugs. This year, we've eradicated over 620,000 illegal marijuana plants in our public lands, and these are being grown by a group of well-armed, well-financed foreign nationals on our American soil. Our efforts against street drugs, such as the hard ones, such as methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin, from our two narcotics task forces, CINTIF and CalMet, and efforts also to pick up some of the drugs that are going up and down our highways all the time, and that's just huge record numbers, not only for Shasta County, but within the state and the nation.
Well, people seem to think is that there's an inordinate amount of time spent going into people's backyards to looking for marijuana plants. I don't know if there's been – I mean, I haven't seen any of that in the paper that I know that the Sheriff's Department's been doing, but I could be wrong.
The vast majority of our time is on huge illegal grows that destroy the environment, contaminate it with poisons, literally poison, plus the fertilizers and damaging the soil there. A small majority is the illegal backyard grows, but this isn't about medical marijuana. This is about the illegal growing of marijuana and the what's occurring out in our lands that's yours and mine.
Which kind of, this is along the subject of narcotics. Christmas time is coming, and you know that we are going to have a lot of family and friends coming to visit. So do you experience or do you find that those who are OxyContin or other kinds of medications, would you recommend that people, regardless of the fact you think you know your family and your friends, lock up your meds, because people do go into your medicine cabinet and will take medications? I mean, does that happen a lot?
That's absolutely correct. I was scratching my head a little bit with the linkage between Christmas and illegal narcotics for a bit until you got there. But you're right. That's how a lot of them are obtained, is through the medicine cabinets at their own homes, oftentimes either by people visiting them or by their own relatives and or, in some cases, unfortunately, children.
You know, the change in the medicinal marijuana laws have – not the change in the laws, but the fact that the feds are saying they're no longer going to go after the medicinal marijuana seems to have begun in 2009 just a veritable explosion of communes or however you want, cooperatives that are selling marijuana on our streets here in Redding. Even though that it's the streets in Redding, it's still Shasta County.
You're absolutely correct. Myself and other sheriffs and law enforcement executives met with the drug czar, as he's known. It's the Office of National Drug Control. And we expressed that concern. The federal, it is still number one. He states the administration's point of view is number one, it's illegal, and it's a no-starter for legalization for this administration. The other point he wanted to make, that you said that they wouldn't go after medical marijuana. Those are the ones that are in compliance with state law, and there are some that are out of compliance and have it so bad that it is still an illegal operation, and they still could be subject to federal prosecution.
Well, they should be. I mean, if you're gonna play the game, play the game. If you're not, then you get grabbed.
It's still a violation of federal law. It's also a violation of state law unless you have the recommendation or you comply with the law and the guidelines that have been set up.
The uh, it, you know, and we've had, you know, countless debates about it. We've had in our town hall, we've had the debates on, you know, medicinal marijuana. You know, I'm not going to get into that debate, you know, because frankly, I don't care. Except for the fact that we've got, I think, 30 of them here in town that are selling right now, and you see ads all the time for it. And my whole question has been, is it's nonprofit, you know, and so where, you know, is the city getting and their county getting any money out of this at all from the sale of all the marijuana? It seems like it's going through here.
Not that I'm aware of. I don't believe they have it taxed. That would be more of a city type question.
I don't know. You know, if you're going to sell booze, you're going to sell cigarettes, it charges, you know, but you know, why not that?
And it's caused a lot of frustration and consternation from Southern California to Northern California, well, and everybody's city managers, councils, boards of supervisors, district attorneys, city attorneys are all trying to grasp this, and it's very difficult in area of gray. It's just not black and white. It's shades of gray.
Yeah, and it's like I said, we've had it on the show before. We've had people from the cooperatives as guests on the line or on the show. And the thing about it is, it just seems like if it's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't type decisions. That if you have it, you know, you're selling it, that it's got to be regulated. And you know, and the thing I guess that of any irritation to me is with the new ammunition laws, and I will keep saying this because it's stuck in my craw, is that I go down and buy a box of 22 caliber ammunition, I got to give a thumbprint.
Well, that doesn't take place till 2011.
That's true, but I can go next door and buy a pound of a federally banned substance.
Exactly.
The only thing I have to show is my a driver's license and my recommendation, and I can have this.
And then there's a Assemblyman that's trying to get a piece of legislation, AB 373, going to repeal AB 962, which was the ammunition law.
Right. But there also is another one that they're trying to bring up that will make marijuana legal in California.
It'll still be a violation of federal law, bottom line.
Yeah, I know.
We got to take a break. After the break, I'd like to ask the sheriff about the counseling of what happens to the hostages, the people who are taking the 911 calls, just all about what happens in the aftermath of this. This is Carla Linda Bott, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. Our phone lines are 605-4567. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in humidor in the state. But besides that, they've got a wonderful coffee emporium there. You can buy gourmet coffee beans at probably the lowest price in town. They've got espresso machines. They've got great gifts for Christmas, for the stocking stuffers. Joe and Shelley are great supporters of our community. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Okay, Tom. The future right here for this 2010. I know you don't, you're not the great Carsoni there, but the budget. We're taking some superior hits in that, and I know that's going to have an impact on the jail and the staff.
We just got our budget. This last year we, of course, had some devastating cuts. Some very tough decisions were made, both by myself and my staff and the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. But it was the right decision for budget cuts because we simply can't spend money we don't have. For the new coming year, the 10-11 budget, there's going to have to be some reductions as well. Sales tax isn't coming in. Property taxes are down. The state is still upside down and in deficit, so we don't know how we're going to be impacted and rated there. But the county administrative officer and all the boards of supervisors have said that we can't endure more cuts. Public safety is a top priority. They know that the men and women of the sheriff's office are very committed to providing the service and are hardworking and put their lives on the line. That was exhibited this last week. And so we're trying to just start getting ready for new budget preparation, but it's going to be very challenging. But the board has made a commitment for public safety to be a priority and work on that.
So with everything you just said, you know, the revenues are down, taxes are down, everything's down so much. What can we look? I mean, is this going to be, you know, spreading that thin blue line thinner?
Absolutely, it will be. And it's just not for Shasta County. We've seen it here within the city. and throughout California. My colleagues, other sheriffs, have had some devastating cuts at their departments. In Sacramento, I think it was about 140 deputies this last year were laid off. Orange County had a $65 million cut and are looking at an additional $71 million. So it's impacting us from one end of the state to the other. We're not alone in this. And the supervisors have a very difficult job with very limited funds.
What do you see as a way to make another cut?
Because
it's going to come down to that.
Excuse me. We've actually gone through and eliminated some vehicles, but it will have its consequences where our vehicles are driven basically 24/7, so they'll accrue higher mileage, maybe do have increased repairs. We've disconnected some phone lines while necessary, but we've consolidated them, reduced some computers, and trying to do everything we can to reduce expenditures but keep people working. That's the main focus, to keep deputies on the streets, our staff, like clerical staff, our support services, keep them working, and do as much as we can to reduce those other expenses.
Do you y'all work pretty close with the city police, don't you?
Absolutely. We rely heavily on Redding Police, Anderson Police, and we have a great relationship and rely on California Highway Patrol in the outlying areas, such as Bernie and the other places. California Highway Patrol is Johnny on the spot assisting our deputies and Bernie on that incident as well.
So the do you have the ability to have like a clearinghouse or a command center, I guess I should say, that gets the word out? If you've got because you are being spread thinner and less deputies patrolling, that it's kind of like a clearinghouse. If something comes in that people need help, that you all pass it immediately to the Highway Patrol or the police or
kind of that command center is called dispatch.
Right.
And the dispatchers, we have limited resources there. And then they inform the watch commander, the sergeant, and says, hey, we don't have any resources. What do we do? Oftentimes we reach out, if it's a critical incident, to those supporting agencies, allied agencies, police, and CHP. And they're very good about it and helping us out.
Well, going back to what transpired recently in Bernie, I'm sure many people wonder, gosh, what happened to the woman who was on the floor for 3 hours and had to pretend that she was dead? What happened to those people that were in this hostage situation? The officers, the victims, the people that were working in the bank, well, they're victims as well. But, you know, what kind of counseling, what happens after a tragic incident like this? What's next?
With the bank employees, the bank, they're a big corporation. They have counseling and special sessions set up for their staff because this isn't the only bank that gets robbed in the nation, of course. And so they're attuned and very sensitive to the concern of their employees. For our staff, we have counseling. And in some cases, the officers that were directly involved in the shooting, we have a psychological exam, a reexamination, and make sure they're okay. We have an employee assistance program within the county. For the individuals, the victims, both were civilians or not bank employees and not sheriff's office employees, we have at the district attorney's office a victim assistance program. And then in some cases, our Shasta County Mental Health may be of assistance, or their own personal insurance if they have insurance. And then usually most insurance policies cover a mental wellness program that can assist them in counseling needs as well.
How can we as a community help the sheriff's department? What kind of volunteer stuff?
We have a citizens volunteer patrol in many of our communities, Old Shasta, Bernie, Fall River, Cottonwood, Shingletown, Happy Valley, and others. That is in the city of Shasta Lake and on Shasta Lake itself for the boating component. We have a boating citizens volunteer patrol. Those become our eyes and our ears within the community. They don't take police action. We have search and rescue component, which is huge, and we could not do the job of search and rescue, these fire evacuations, without those committed volunteers on search and rescue, and they do a great job there. We have ladies and primarily ladies that have volunteered within our records unit to assist in filing of reports and photocopying. So we can use volunteers. The main thing is to be informed. And if you have concerns with government, state, federal, county, city, is let your voice be heard and contact your elected officials and your representatives.
Okay, so Sheriff Basenko is our guest today, and the question that I would have for you, again, 605-4567, if you have a question, do call the hotline. Sheriff is taking your calls along with Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR. But I have a question before we take a break, and that is, for those who may be thinking, what can I do to be of service to my community? They may have a little extra time or thinking about the one thing that they can do. How, whether it could be search and rescue or to support, to file, whatever they can do, who do they go to? Where do they drive to? Who do they contact?
The easiest way is to contact our Sheriff's Office Administration at 245-6165. And then when we figure out, if they explain to us what they're interested in volunteering, we can direct them to the right person, and or they can come into the Sheriff's Office in the administration back in the Office of Sheriff. We can also get that information and direct them to the right person as well. And it is a huge asset for the volunteers that really do their community service.
Well, if you're listening right now, Sheriff, could you give us that phone number one more time? If you're listening to the station right now and you're thinking of something that you can do to enrich and be a part of this community, this is the perfect time for you to make a call. Give us that phone number again.
245-6165, and that's our Sheriff's Office Administration, and then we can direct you to the right person. And we really love our volunteers. Like I said, they really help the community and help the Sheriff's Office in providing the services and that we do to the communities.
This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages.
Good morning. Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott. If you are just putting your feet on the ground, good morning, December 22nd. This is KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Our guest today is Sheriff Tom Basenko. Good morning again, Tom.
Hi, Linda.
And, oh, gosh, Carl and I want to thank so much the FedEx drivers and the mail people. You guys are heroes. You get the gifts. You get, hey, we just got a great piece of equipment that's going to make our lives a little easier here.
Another receiver just rolled into town here.
And you guys, from what I understand, they work Sundays. They're working the day after Christmas. They don't take a holiday.
Well, you know, it's another group of people that you don't think about unless they're not working. And then they have a severe impact on your lives.
You know, you make an important part about that. And sometimes on these critical incidents, you're always thinking about the men and women that are on the front line, maybe the SWAT operators that are making the entries. But remember that we can't do this job without support staff, the people staffing a traffic control point, a roadblock to block the traffic, and the dispatchers. We could not do our job with those very committed professionals, men and women, for our communications links. And that's a stressful job on critical incidents, stressful job in itself, but it's also on the critical incidents. So
yeah,
they do a great job there.
And we figured it's something like a 10-to-1, tooth-to-tail type thing, that for every shooter you put out there, it takes up to 10 people to get them out there, keep them supplied, give them the information he needs and the support for it. I mean, I'm sure yours isn't that robust.
We had a pretty robust response. There was, you know, a large amount of people driving up to Bernie in that response to what we call an 1199, which means an officer needs assistance, myself and my undersheriff included. But it takes a lot of people.
Yeah, well, you know, your support troops is probably a probably 2-to-1 or something like that. Not because you don't have the luxury of having 10 people to support each one.
Part of that support staff and volunteers we were talking about was we have an explorer group, which is through Boy Scouts of America, and those are some young men and women looking at exploring into getting into law enforcement. We have our cadet program, which is a paid position, and they do a lot of logistical support for us as well, part-time, and we work it around their school schedules because oftentimes they're going to college. And then we have a sheriff's service officer, an SSO, and those people, it's a paid position, and that's they primarily work in the jail, and there's some spots out on patrol as well.
The jail. Third floor still shut down?
Not necessarily the third floor. We do rotate it around to do maintenance stuff, but a floor is shut down, yes.
People that we keep in the jail for longer than 48 hours? Or, I mean, I understand. I've been hearing all types of things.
Probably the most.
You get picked up, you get released, you know, things that.
For the nonviolent crimes, you do get released. And that includes DUI. It can include burglary, which is a serious crime, but generally not violent. very difficult decision. Myself and other sheriffs throughout the state made those decisions as well. Fresno, Los Angeles, San Diego had to close parts of their jails as well. And we're trying to do the best we can with what we have for the resources. And if we hadn't done that, that would have been an additional about $1.5 million to keep it open and running. Uh-huh. And that would have mean to cut it out of the rest of the organization, which is primarily patrol. And then that would be not acceptable for hardly any staff for the entire county, because we got to protect the people.
What are we seeing as I know we're turning burglars loose and all that, the future that we're that we're going to be facing this year?
The future is some pretty lean and difficult times. However, we are committed to delivering the best possible service we can with the resources that we have. We might have some very extended times in responding to that. We call it a cold burglary, which means past tense and it's not in progress. It could be many hours before we respond to it, because we got to respond to the hot calls, the domestic violence is in progress, assaults in progress. Those take a top priority. Not saying that those other calls aren't important, but we have to put a prioritization to it.
Well, I guess the question would be, Tom, is, and I don't know, I feel awkward calling you Tom. It's almost like it should be Mr. or Sheriff Basenko, always. It's the proper, it's the respectful thing. It's always Sheriff Basenko. So,
well, thank you.
But the question would be, if you were to give your top three, signs of what we need to look out for during these holiday seasons as far as burglary and theft and cars, what give us some tips of what to look out for.
Number one, lock your car. You'd be surprised how many people don't lock it or leave the keys in the ignition unlocked. Put your packages in the trunk or have a cover for them. If you like in an SUV, put it in the back and have them covered up. Lock your home. Most people don't lock their home. And for your valuables that you do have, that's your normal life, record those serial numbers and have a description of them. Take a picture of like jewelry, because that's hard to describe. That helps us out. And in just your normal walk of life, be aware of where you are and your surroundings and be observant. A lot of times people become victims by not being aware of the situation and recognizing the danger signs. It's not their fault, but just more of an awareness, an alertness, kind of on guard, if you will.
It's Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap it up with Sheriff Basenko. Our phone number here is 605-4567. It's the last chance to ask the sheriff a question this year, practically. Join us after these messages. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. It's a portion of the show brought to you by Espresso Joe, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You want that special coffee at a great price? Let the girls fix it for you. It is so reasonable, the prices, you'll probably have two. Espresso Joe's, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Did you hear it through the grapevine? Was that cool or was that cool? Hey, as we wrap up here, thank you so much. Merry Christmas, Sheriff Basenko.
Well, thank you so much for coming on to your new set, and welcome. And I wish the best to you, and Merry Christmas to you and your family as well.
Thank you so much. Now, do you have any safety closing messages on safety?
Well, I'd like to give everybody a very Christmas wish and wish them a very merry, merry Christmas. Be safe. Travel safe. Don't drink and drive. You not only endanger yourself, but you endanger others, and use a designated driver. And be responsible, be aware, and be safe.
Yeah, you know, it's a shame to, these holiday seasons are, you know, we can share so much with our families and everything, to take that one extra drink, and Linda had a good point. She said, drink that eggnog. You can't taste it, and all of a sudden you get in your car and you're blowing a 1.4, and then you smash it up. I mean, what kind of season is that?
Don't ruin the holiday season by getting arrested, or worse, getting killed, or killing someone else. It's difficult on our staff when we have to give those death notifications, and we don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah, not now. Sheriff, we appreciate everything you're doing. You're always welcome here on the show. We want to be the avenue to get the word out and for people to understand what's going on with our departments.
Well, for the community, we're here for them. We're here to serve, and we're going to do the best possible job that we can for them with the resources and funding that we have.
Well, thank you for for being our special guest today. And always remember that Carl and Linda here on Free Fire Radio want to be a conduit for law enforcement, for our community. I mean, use this podium, platform, use the station, use our time to be able to connect the people of this beautiful community. Let them know, let them know what to look out for, what's happening, what's the good, the bad, whatever. We're in it. So use the station for that. Anytime, call Tom.
And you folks seem to be everywhere at a lot of community events, and that thing about being connected. You're absolutely connected and hearing the concerns of our citizens, of the issues that we all face and are very, very important to us and impact us all.
Thanks a lot, Sheriff Finn. We will have a great Christmas and have a safe Christmas for you and all your people.
Merry Christmas. Thank you very much.
You bet. You know, the rest of the week we're going to have, tomorrow Trish Clark will be on, who is very well connected with Shasta County politics. Well, used to be a Shasta County supervisor.
I love her. She's so feisty.
She's a toughie. And, the sheriff's leaving right now. And then on Thursday, we're going to have Sheriff Peter Hansen talking about. Chief Peter Hansen.
Sheriff.
That's right. Chief Peter Hansen. He's going to talk about the police and Reading Police Department. Again, what happened this year and what's going to happen.
And then Thursday night is Christmas Eve. You know, Santa and Rudolph and, Donner and Blixen and all they're going to be very busy, and we'll be visiting family as well. Friday we won't be here, but you'll hear the best of, and it's going to be. We want you to have a safe, wonderful Christmas and holiday time with your family.
That's still a couple of days off, though.
I know, but we're it's right there.
I haven't done any shopping yet. I haven't done any. Bob hasn't done any. You know, Linda does. She goes shopping. But
I have not. My shopping has been, by the way, radio gear.
By the way, FedEx just delivered your Christmas present. It's called a Star Guide receiver. Which means is then we can have the shows hooked into the back of it.
This has been a great joy for us, by the way. We'll say that. We'll keep saying it. Thank you so much. It's been a blessing and thank you, Mike Quinn, for letting us have this time to be able to come and live our dream by being part of the community and buying the station, KCNR 1460. This has been fun.
It has been. And we're going
to. Thank you, Bob Alonji.
And again, thanks to the people who are doing it. Again, tomorrow, we're also going to have somebody in from the Good News Rescue Mission, I believe. He's going to be talking about, some of the things that are going on.
That we can do for our community.
Ken White, I think he'll be in. And then Trish Clark. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?